Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
Hey yo, what is the word, people? Welcome back into another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. Episode 150 of the Jay Porks Podcast. I am Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular nobody. In a country that never ceases to disappoint me day by day, month by week by week, minute by minute, second by second. Times are happening. Things are moving too fast for even the mighty Porkster to wrap his head around. So what we're going to do here on episode 150 is we're going to play the thoughts of other people who have thoughts that are in line with Jay Porks. It's a twofold. It's so I don't spend an hour screaming and lose my voice. And it's just to show you that I'm not crazy and I'm not, you know, if you're wondering where I get my ideas from, you know, so I have a couple of things. First clip I have lined up for you is a clip from The View. I know, it's The View. I'm sorry. It's it happened shortly after the election. It's Bernie Sanders on The View plugging his new book and talking about, you know, exactly what special kind of hell we are heading into. So let's get right into it right here. This is from about a week after the election. Bernie Sanders on The View.
Senator Sanders.
Happy birthday, young lady.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Trump ran as an outsider candidate, but he just appointed the ultimate insider, the head of the RNC, as his chief of staff, and also announced that he's bringing in Steve Bannon, who's highly controversial for the alt-right movement, as his chief strategist. What should these appointments tell us?
Well, I think you're right. Mr. Priebus is a conservative, well-experienced former chair of the Republican Party. I think the other appointment should get us very nervous.
Yeah.
Our job, look, all of you know that we have struggled with discrimination and racism and sexism and homophobia for hundreds of years, right? It's the history of this country.
Yep.
What we did to the Native Americans is atrocious. Hopefully, we have made some progress in making this country a less discriminatory society. And I will be damned if we're going to go backwards and try dividing this country up again. We're going to bring our people together. We're not going backwards. And we're going to tell Mr. Bannon and any other advisors, this country is not, we're not going to be turning on each other. We're going to be standing together in the wealthiest country in the history of the world to fight for a society and a government that works for all.
But they
of
have
us.
Won three branches of government, right. And the Supreme Court will be conservative. What exact power does the left have anymore?
I don't call it the left. I call it the vast majority of the people.
Okay.
Overwhelmingly,
right.
Look, George, if you look at issue by issue,
yeah.
Okay, vast majority of the American people want to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. Vast majority of the people know there's something wrong when we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people as a right. You all know that? We're the only major country on earth. You got 28 million people, no health insurance. Many of you cannot afford health insurance because your deductibles and your co-payments are too high. We're the only country on earth. We pay more per capita.
Yes.
Drug companies are ripping us off. We have more income and wealth inequality. Rich get rich, almost everybody else gets poor. Most people don't think that that's good. And one
and
of the reasons...
And yet... They voted for
a man...
Yeah.
Who is part of the problem.
Right. Yes. And then the question then is, where was the Democratic Party? Has the Democratic Party been doing its job in telling working people in Iowa and in New York and in Wyoming, we're going to stand with you. We have the guts to take on Wall Street. We have the guts to take on the insurance companies and the drug companies and the fossil fuel companies. I don't think most people believe the Democratic Party has done that.
We've been talking a lot about why Hillary Clinton lost, and I think she lost because she didn't have a spokesperson like you for the cause. I said from the beginning, I'm a libertarian, I'm a center-right girl, but you need a spokesperson for the cause, and I said she should have stuck you on the ticket. That would have been the victory. That would have got those voters out. That would have got those millennials out. But I want to ask you a quick question to follow up on that. This weekend, Hillary Clinton has basically been blaming FBI Director Comey for coming out and making the statements he made that weren't justified and saying that tilted the election. I argue that the fault lied with her and her inability to do outreach to the communities that were listening and waiting for her to do so. Where does the blame fall, in your opinion?
Well, you could look at politics in many, many ways. I think what the FBI did was unacceptable. They got involved in a presidential election in an unprecedented way, and I think that's wrong. I think that hurt Clinton. But I think your point is more to the point. It's not just one instance. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Hillary Clinton, and I knock my brains out to get her elected. But I think it is fair to say that the working class of this country did not believe that she was prepared to stand up and fight for them. Mm-hmm.
Even if her policies were.
See, it's about what you say nowadays. It's not about what you do, because beat by beat, There's no question of what she has done, the service she's done for this country. And I get that people are upset and they're, you know, but a lot of disenfranchised people have been in this country for many, many years. And I don't recall any of them saying, oh, you know whose fault it is? It's them. And they're the murderers and the rapists. Oh, no, it's them. They're the folks that shouldn't be. This is a new thing. This is brand new.
And we will not accept that for 1 second.
Bernie,
we cannot accept that for 1 second.
Tell us about your new book, Our Revolution.
Well, the book does two things. You know, when I began the campaign, we were considered to be a fringe candidate. Nobody knew who I was. And we were taking on the entire political establishment and the media establishment, everybody else. And at the end of the campaign, we ended up winning 22 states, getting 14 million votes, and winning the vast majority of young people. So we came a long way in the campaign, and the book talks about that. But the second thing, the second half of the book says, you know what? As Americans, we're going to have to sit down and do a lot of studying. We're going to have to answer some questions. And these are not five-second sound bites. Mm-hmm. Why is the middle class declining for 40 years? Is it morally acceptable that the top 0.1% now owns as much wealth as the bottom 90%? Why are we the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people? Why do we have more people in jail, disproportionately African American, Latino, and Native American, than any other country on earth?
Why?
All right. How do you address climate change?
Yeah. You know how we do that? We get the book. We get the book. Senator Bernie Sanders, thank you. His new book, Revolution, A Future to Believe In, is on sale tomorrow everywhere where books are sold. And of course, we will be right back.
That was Bernie Sanders on The View. Second piece of audio here comes from Jim Cornette. Now, you may know him from the wide world of professional wrestling. He's a character, but also has a pretty bitchin' podcast, and I think the term hot take was invented for Jim Cornette, because Jim Cornette can just go. He has a way about him. Words just continuously flow through the mind and out of the mouth, and they all make sense. And I mean, I guess that's why he was so good at what he did as a manager and a promoter of professional wrestling back in the day. But now he just has a podcast and does some appearances and signs some things. So his podcast was, I mean, first of all, this guy's from Kentucky, he's from Louisville, and he's like southern boy, so like, when I heard that he was like very liberal, I was shocked and appalled. I didn't think I mean, I don't know, listen, people can be from places and have different views than the people around them, but I was very happy too. I was like, yeah, another smart guy on my team. That's the difference, like, you know, the people on the side of, you know, correct thinking and non-racism and non-fascism and equality and stuff like that. Those people are like lawyers and nurses and teachers. And the people on the side of, you know, racism is like the KKK and Breitbart and people who believe that you should electrocute gay people to make them straight. Anyway, this is a little 15-minute clip from Jim Cornette's Talking Sense on YouTube. So we're just going to get right into it here. So Jimmy Cornette on Donald Trump being not my president, hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president.
I got this email last week. And I said, you know, I'm going to read this on it because I thought obviously sanity was going to prevail and Clinton was going to win. But I'm going to read this email on the air and then comment on it. But my comments have changed somewhat from what they originally were. Allow me to extrapolate. This is from Laszlo. He doesn't say where he's from, but he's not from here, obviously. With a name like Laszlo, you'd be from somewhere else. Hey, Jim, just wanting to start off that I'm a big fan of yours and an even bigger fan of progressive liberal ideologies, though what I'm about to say may come off as harsh, but I mean you no personal offense. But as a non-American, I want Trump to win because Americans deserve it. Your citizens have allowed the U.S. to be the world's greatest threat. You brain-dead lemmings have fallen for every boogeyman the news has thrown at you. You proudly invade sovereign nations, often arming them beforehand, and make no mention of the millions of civilians you kill in the name of fighting terror. Who the fuck is inflicting the lion's share of terror here? You're so pathetic you can't even stop mass shootings that occur virtually daily because you'd rather have guns than a place without mass shootings. How the fuck do we not have a travel advisory against you dipshits? Any other country in the world with armed and dangerous locals killing dozens weekly is getting a warning. Trump embodies what you are, short-sighted, dangerous consumerists that don't have the self-awareness and intelligence to understand how full of shit you are. He's the perfect choice. And after 4 years of Trump, or eight, because American stupidity cannot be underestimated, maybe then you can realize how much of a laughingstock your nation and citizenry is to the world. What a fucking backward cesspool of greed and corruption you stand for at the beginning of every NFL game. Maybe then you can understand that being a patriot isn't about bombing children, encouraging big businesses, and raping the poor. Maybe somewhere down the line, an American won't have a negative connotation in nine-tenths of the world. But for that to happen, you need a lesson, and I hope that lesson is Trump. Again, huge fan and love the podcast. I was all ready to celebrate Hillary Clinton winning by cutting Laszlo a new asshole with a promo and saying, fuck you, we still proved that we know what the fuck we're doing. But now I have to apologize to Laszlo because apparently he's right. Apparently I knew there wasn't enough racists. I knew there wasn't enough billionaires. I knew there wasn't enough religious fanatics, but I didn't count on one thing, Brian. There are enough stupid fucking white people.
I don't think you could ever discount the amount of ignorant people in this country. And
they fell for it. They fell, not only that they fell for Trump. This is wrong on so many levels. They fell for Republican ideology again. Oh, the last administration was so successful. In 8 years, he got us in two wars with the wrong fucking people, crashed the global economy, made us the laughingstock of the fucking world, was a bumbling fucking mush-mouth dipshit that was so unpopular when he left office that he couldn't even campaign for the fucking person who was trying to replace him on the Republican side because he was toxic. He was like TNA of politics. He had the smell of grisly death on him. And 8 years later, after the guy Barack Obama has come along, and despite every bit of Republican obstruction and every bit of Republican obstacle they put in his way, and they said no to everything, and they shut the government down, and they fucking whined and griped about everything, something the Democrats never did except over gun control when young, innocent school children were being mowed down by lunatics that the Republicans don't want to do anything about. After 8 years of the guy coming along and getting bin Laden and saving the auto industry, and the stock market is triple what it was under Bush, and et cetera, et cetera, they not only vote another Republican administration back in, but they give it to the Senate and the fucking House and the fucking majority of the state governors, and now they've got the Supreme Court picks. The last time this happened was in 1928. Does anybody remember what happened in 1929? You fucking morons. Okay, number one, the Republican ideology. Just that they'd go there anywhere with anybody. I don't care who, if they nominated goddamn Bill Gates or fucking Stephen Hawking, just because they're Republicans. And they fucked us for 8 years, and then they've tried to fuck us for the last eight. Done everything they could. So that you would want to vote for a Republican, despite how much you might dislike the Democrat. That's goddamn ludicrous. Then, the Republican that you vote for, you mean to tell me that there are seriously 50 million misguided, gullible motherfuckers in this country that cannot look at him, cannot listen to any words that come out of his mouth, cannot read any story by any credited news organization, and I'm talking about, yes, Newsweek and New York Times and Washington Post and big newspapers and magazines with journalists that know what the fuck they're doing, instead of a goddamn guy that works at the fucking Jiffy Lube or a coal miner in West Virginia that goddamn gets his news off this Breitbart.com if they know how to get on a computer, or maybe just goddamn listens to their brother-in-law when they're out drinking beer at the cookout. These actual reputable news-gathering organizations and reporting organizations all told you he's a dumb fuck, he's a fraud, he's a con man, he lies. They've showed the videotape of him lying every time it comes out of his mouth. You know that he's got fucking anger management issues, just like I do. You know that he's goddamn stays up late at night and fucking engages in Twitter wars with fucking beauty queens and goddamn foreign fucking leaders. Now he's going to have his finger on the button. You dumb shits. You can't see through that every time he gets up in front of people with that fucking obnoxious smirk on his fucking face. And every time he says this shit, if they were good ideas, and some of them are good ideas, as Boland said on this program one time, you know what TNA needs to do? They need to do more of the good shit and less of the bad shit. That's exactly what he says. We need to make more jobs. No shit, Sherlock. Thank you, Watson, my pipe, you fucking idiot. Of course we do. But you don't have any details about how we're going to do that because all of your shit is fictitious, you fucking Cheeto twat waffle. You're not going to build a wall across Mexico they're already backing up on. You're not going to forcefully deport 10 million people that they're already backing up on. You're not going to goddamn do any of the other fucking things that you've said that everybody was out there was going rah-rah at the trailer park. You're not going to do any of those things because they're physically or financially impossible. But it sounded good. And that's what 50 million Americans fell for, a fucking guy doing a wrestling promo. What did I always teach the wrestlers in fucking wrestling school about promos? If you're wanting to be a babyface, you go out there and you say what the people wish they could say if they had the platform, and then you tell them that you agree with them and you tell them you're going to do something about it. That's all it fucking takes, and you fell for it because you couldn't see that this fucking guy was as full of shit as a Christmas turkey. Every time he opens his mouth, he's out for himself. He does, as we said, he's been diagnosed by people with goddamn mental disorders to some degree. And plus, he's just a rich, clueless fuck that's lived on other. He's like, do you want Vince McMahon to be the president? Bruce Pritchard used to joke, the Artful Dodger over here at MLW Radio. He used to joke that Vince had not been to the grocery but for himself since 1983. When's the last time you think Donald Trump went to Kroger?
Never.
Fuck. It on so many levels, this is ludicrous. If you, even if you agreed with the Republican ideology, which once again is to say no to everything and not do anything good for anybody and not keep track of anything, even if you thought that what Donald Trump was saying was in some way feasible and possible to do, and even if in some way you thought that he actually meant what he was saying, he still doesn't know how this shit is supposed to work. And I'm sorry, he ain't going to go in and shake shit up now. He's going to go in there and he's going to realize he's fucking lost, and he's going to be the promo guy. And this fucking religious zealot fanatic fuck Mike Pence is going to be basically the president. And they're going to pick all the Supreme Court justices. And Trump, if he ain't a billionaire now, he sure will be by the time he gets finished being president. Because you just know that somebody's going to win the fucking pony in the Trump family. I'm gobsmacked. I'm outraged. I'm ashamed to be an American citizen that because there's half of us, well, more than half, there's the children who couldn't vote. So we have visited this upon our children. That sounds biblical. If it ain't, it ought to be. There's some people that didn't vote, and you share in the fucking guilt and the culpability, motherfuckers. Yeah, I'm pointing, because I was over there voting. Even though I knew Kentucky because 6,000 people make their fucking living in the coal mining industry here in this goddamn state, that naturally millions were going to vote against fucking Hillary Clinton for trying to rightfully put the coal mining business out of business, along with the buggy whip factories and the goddamn kerosene lamp fucking factories. Jesus Christ. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm disgusted, right? Before I was mad, and I was mad on behalf of myself and everybody else. Now I'm just disgusted, and I'm going to take myself out of it, because here's the thing. How is this going to just affect me? Let me go ahead and be all self-centered now and just think about me. How's this going to affect me? I'm not going to have an abortion. That's pretty safe to say, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? So just because it's going to be visit horrors and burden and suffering on millions of women when they overturn the abortion laws and take control. You know, the Republicans, they want you to have all the rights except any ones they don't want you to have. So when they take control of all the women's ovaries and uteruses in the country, and a bunch of unwanted children are born to be abused, and women's lives are in danger because of health conflicts, et cetera, or it just makes it more burdensome for them to go hundreds of miles, especially if they can't afford it, whatever the case may be, it's not going to affect me. So just bad for them. Oh, well, I'll get over it. Don't affect me. I'm not going to, if we get in a war because he fucking in the middle of blowing Putin, somehow he rakes him with his teeth, and Putin gets mad at his bitch and tries to slap him around. If we get into war, I'm not going to go. I'm too old, and nobody would want me fighting in the trenches. So everybody that's out there that's got sons and daughters that are going to get killed, well, I'm sorry, crummy for you. And speaking of the sons and daughters, I don't need the free college tuition so that I can educate myself and get a job in the real world of today instead of being a coal miner, so they can keep you down there in the hole where they want you. You fucking idiots. You vote against your best interests every time. I'm about done with you. And yes, I did call you Kentucky motherfuckers hillbillies on Twitter. And I can do that because I'm a hillbilly too, because I'm from Kentucky. But at least I edumacated myself. You fucking piss poor goddamn excuses for fucking human beings. So anyway, I don't need, I'm not planning on having the Caitlyn Jenner treatment anytime soon. I'm not going to let anybody chop my dick off. It's barely there as it is. I don't need the LGBT rights, right? Because I'm neither LGB nor T. So fuck all those people. That doesn't matter to me. I'm 55 years old, so I won't live long enough. At least I hope I don't, you know, for the planet to melt around me, because these fucking idiots that we just put in power in the nation, in the leading nation in the world, think that climate change was a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese to get an advantage in trade. Because they don't believe in science, because they don't believe in knowledge. I won't live long enough to see the planet melt, so that doesn't bother me. Basically, I'm going to say, since America didn't even really speak, because when you think about it, Hillary Clinton still won the popular vote. It's just because of this, the rigged system we got. I don't know who told me that. I heard somewhere the system was rigged. That the person who got more votes in the United States of America is not the president of the United States. That's happened actually a number of times to the Democratic Party. I wonder why it keeps happening to the Democratic Party instead of the Republicans. Is there a thing called gerrymandering and et cetera, et cetera? I don't, but nevertheless, the same thing happened. We could have avoided George Bush because Al Gore got more votes than George Bush. And we could have avoided two wars and a recession and a global financial crisis and all that stuff. But because of the way we pick our leaders, the person who gets the most votes does not win in that rigged system. So at any rate, the country has spoken. And as long as he doesn't crash the economy and cause me to have to be out on the street corner selling pencils out of a tin cup, I guess I will just accept this horse shit. And we all should, all the smart 50 million should just say, oh, well, there was about 1.5 million fewer of us, but they live in the right places. So now we have a bunch of fucking maniacs running our country and scaring the world to death. And this is preferable to the intelligent, articulate, reasonable, smart, cool, calm, collected black guy that we have just seen what a leader looks like. So now we're going to go as far the opposite direction as possible because we didn't like the fact that his shit worked and we were wrong because we're either misguided billionaires, religious fanatics, hillbillies, coal miners, or gullible. Did I mention fucking gullible?
Cornette's smoking them like cigs. Can't disagree. In some ways, America does deserve this. And if you're looking at it, if you live in another country, I can understand why this might make you a little delighted. It's like, haha, you guys finally get to be the butt of a joke that you now understand. All right, my next little bit is from Daily Show host Trevor Noah. It's a little 5-minute thing here. Trevor Noah on Trump's victory and how facts are now becoming opinions.
Satirist. Because, I mean, you all got quite serious, didn't you? Immediately after the election. It was all sort of quite a big intake of breath. Yeah. I don't know how to be funny for a moment.
Yeah, because comedy's tragedy plus time. When you're doing a live show on election night, there is no time to absorb the tragedy. So I'm still a human being. I'm still going to react. Because you must remember, I'm having flashbacks and flash forwards to Brexit. Look at how there was a spike in xenophobic attacks. Look at how there was a spike in racism and hate speech. Look at how there was a spike. And I was going, if that can happen in the UK, what's going to happen in America? When Donald Trump, who has run a way more incendiary campaign than a Nigel Farage and his Leave campaigners did, can you imagine what that's going to spur? When white nationalists and neo-Nazis were rising up, when the KKK was holding rallies in support of Trump, that was always in the back of my mind. If this guy wins, and I always said it, the message that it sends is one that, you know, ignites the worst in people. And so in that moment when they said Donald Trump is winning, and you go, wow, we are in for one hell of a ride.
Did you wonder whether it was fake news?
For a second, I thought it was a sketch. There was one moment where he's coming down the stairs with his family to accept it. And I said to my friend, we're watching this, and this is 3 a.m. I said, I still feel like it's a sketch. It still feels like it's just like some big show that we're watching. It doesn't feel real.
But it is real, isn't it? And I wonder to what extent you feel you've got to use your platform to reassert facts and truth into politics.
Well, now the greatest challenge is going to be expanding my bubble, you know? Because I understand some people may be in a bubble and I'm inside that bubble, you know? I don't think I'm in the bubble with them, but people may have me inside their bubble. So now my goal is to try and expand people's bubbles. Because Donald Trump as a leader is someone I'm familiar with coming from a third world country. I'm familiar with that type of leader, someone who comes along and promises everything, someone who has conflicts of interest in the world of business, someone who flip-flops in his positions. That's something I'm familiar with. What I'm not familiar with is somebody having that much power being in that position. So if anything now, in terms of reasserting facts, one thing I've learned, you can't force anybody to accept a fact. Facts have now become opinions. So if anything, we're going to be in a world where we're trying to convince people of the facts.
Except facts aren't opinions, are they? I mean, there is such a thing as a fact.
We think so. We hope so. But we don't know anymore. You know, it feels like we're getting to the place where facts are opinion. You know, you're seeing on the news where every opinion is entertained as a fact. I mean, just recently, CNN, I'll never forget, had a lower third that said, you know, white nationalists ask, are Jews people? And I was like, how on earth are we even, this is now a question? This is something that is now up for debate. It's like, are we really going to live in that world? So I think if anything, we're going to have to wait, unfortunately, for the breaking of promises, because once people have that happen, they start to become open again to the idea that maybe they've been swindled.
Do you think Trump is being normalized as a president now?
Yes.
Are we going to see him popping up on the talk shows and them all laughing
yes.
along with him?
Yes, I do think so. I think now a lot of people are going to normalize Trump. I think now you will see people very quickly acquiesce to power. You know, already you're seeing that. Already you're seeing people saying, oh, well, I mean, you know, as a president, we got to give him a chance. And I go, but he's already giving you answers. He's already When you appoint Jeff Sessions, a man who has a record of actively opposing civil rights, is that not you blowing the chance? When you appoint to the White House as one of your chief advisors a man who runs a website that is a known hub for neo-Nazis and white supremacists, is that not blowing your chance? At what point do we say that the chance is blown? And I think that's a very dangerous place to be in, one that I would never entertain. Just because somebody's a president does not mean they are right. We've seen that repeatedly, whether it's been going to wars that shouldn't have been fought, whether it's been scandals like Watergate. Just because you are president doesn't mean that now you are a good person. People will try and normalize it. People already try to normalize it with, they talk about neo-Nazis like it's just like a way of thinking. They talk about it like it's hipsters. All these young, who are these young hip white nationalists that are, what the hell is going on, people? People are, you know, walking around saying Sieg Heil again, and people are saying, oh, well, I guess, you know, that's just how some people are. No, it's not how some people are. And that normalization is something that I won't accept. And, you know, I will constantly push back against, because it's very dangerous to slip into it. It's like a tug of war. It never happens all at once. It's inch by inch by inch. And then one day, one side pulls the rope, and then all of a sudden you're going, how did we get into this situation?
Found something else here. I'm from Staten Island. Being from New York City, we know of Central Park. And there was a big thing in the 90s, the Central Park Five. They were a couple of, they were five kids, young adults, who were accused of a crime, put in jail, and years later, like recently, they were released. So, everyone knows the Young Turks, right? The Young Turks have a YouTube channel there. News. I think they're Turkish. I don't know, but they're cool. They're all right. I enjoy their non-mainstream media-ness. So this is the Young Turks discussion on the Central Park Five and what Trump thinks about them. This is before the election actually took place, so it's a bit dated. But here's a listen. Young Turks.
One of the earliest really high-profile racist acts in the media of Donald Trump came about back in 1989 during the Central Park Five jogger case. And so if you're not familiar with the case, which happened in Manhattan, a 28-year-old banker who'd been jogging at night in Central Park was raped, bludgeoned with a rock, and was found hours later tied up, stripped, and suffering from hypothermia and brain damage, which included an inability to remember the details of what had happened during that case. Now, immediately after, a group of five teenage boys who were in the park at the time and were suspected of being involved possibly with some other crime were arrested for the assault. After extended questioning over 2 days, during which the suspects claimed they were deprived of sleep and food, police say they confessed to the crime, although none acknowledged actually raping the victim. And they all later said that they had actually not committed the crime. Now, it's extremely important for you to understand that at this point that four of the five were black, one was Hispanic, and some people came out in the media and were quite sure of what should happen to these five individuals, including Donald Trump, who published this, a full-page ad you're going to see there, "Bring back the death penalty, bring back our police." One small portion of that, which you can find online to read it in its entirety, says, "I want to hate these muggers and murderers. They should be forced to suffer, and when they kill, they should be executed for their crimes. They must serve as examples so that others will think long and hard before committing a crime or an act of violence," showing that Donald Trump, like many in this country, doesn't understand why people commit acts of crime and murder. I don't think they do it because they think, well, if I get put in jail for 70 years, that's not so bad. Oh my God, they'll kill me, well, then I'm not going to do it. But he is simplistic in his thinking, and so that's what he thought. Now, despite his high-profile call for them to be executed for what they did, it turns out it wasn't actually them in the end at all. In 2002, another man, a convicted rapist and murderer, confessed to the assault, and his DNA did match semen that was found on the victim. No DNA evidence has been found to tie any of the Central Park Five to the crime. They were exonerated and 12 years later paid $41 million in a settlement. Now, you might say up until this point that Donald Trump, like many, thought, perhaps because of their proximity to the crime, or perhaps because of their races, that they were responsible for this. And so people can be wrong. But that was 14 years ago that we found out who actually did it. And he still believes that he was right all along. He was asked about the Central Park Five and said this: they admitted they were guilty. The police doing the original investigation say they were guilty. The fact that that case was settled with so much evidence against them is outrageous. And the woman so badly injured will never be the same. He still says they did it and should be killed for it.
I actually think this is the single worst thing I've heard about Trump. And now that's a hell of a thing to say, because he's said and did some unbelievable things. But, okay, just like John said, in the beginning, you demagogued on it, and God, you were so wrong. What if they had actually executed those kids? So there is no question. They got a $41 million settlement for a reason.
Yeah.
There is no question they did not do it. The guy who confessed to the crime in 2002, his DNA matches. There's no question he confessed to it. He is a serial adult, a rapist and murderer, okay? It's that guy. Okay. For him to say, I don't care, we should have executed the black kids anyway. Oh, my God. Because that shows you that if he's president, the most powerful man on earth, does not care about evidence at all, does not care about facts, the only thing he cares about is his ego. So even if he's proven 100% wrong and clearly wrong, he will not change his mind. Hey, President Trump, we should not launch the nukes. It turns out we were wrong. They did not launch against us, mm-hmm. right? It turns out we were wrong about X, Y, or Z. Nope, I'm never wrong. I'm never wrong. I don't care. Execute them anyway. What kind of a monster would want to take it out on those innocent kids anyway? Are you really that bad? Are you a conservative who thinks, I don't care that they're not guilty. I don't care. I'm with Donald. I think that they should be in prison, executed. I don't care. They're guilty, even though everyone in the world, including the New York cops, the New York prosecutors, everybody in New York says they are not guilty. But no, I'm with Donald Trump. If we thought it was the black kids in the beginning, it's the black kids, and I'm not going to have a conversation about it. If you agree with that, you're just as monstrous as he is. And then they complain about Hillary Clinton saying basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
Again, these are his supporters, though. You have to understand that these are the same people who every time that the police shoot a black person, well, he didn't comply. Even if his hands were up and, you know, whatever, he didn't comply. To Trump supporters, to this group, to say that these five black kids did it and I don't care about the evidence, they're all like, yeah, of course they did it. There were five or four black kids and a Latin kid. To them, this is absolutely true that they did it, and it was somehow, you know, that they were exonerated for it and all that. It's the liberals going easy on crime and we should be tough on crime. And, you know, if you killed five of them, I bet you could, if they were being recorded or if they didn't think you were listening, they'd say, well, they were guilty of something else, so we killed them, so who cares? Yeah. We got rid of five criminals, you know. I mean, this was a bad time. This was also the time that led up to Hillary Clinton's super predator thing and this and that. I mean, this was a time when this was the thought, when you know, there were roving packs there
of kids and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Wilding, that's what they called it. Wilding,
right. It was the common belief, but now, to say now, after science and DNA and et cetera has proven they're innocent, to still say they're guilty, he's talking to his base. He's talking to his base.
Yeah. So the really interesting part of that is that for those guys, it isn't about the crime. It's about the race. So hear me out on this. Because you say, I've got the actual criminal. I've got the guy who was doing all the crime that you were so afraid of. The guy who was raping and killing, and he had bludgeoned her with the thing. I got the guy. I don't care about that. I want to punish the other guys. Why? 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 Because it's not about the crime. Because to them, the guilty are the blacks. And so because guys, don't you, like, the oldest thirst for vengeance against these kids in this case. The other thing that drives me crazy, because I was a prosecutor for like a very brief period of time, just as an intern, a couple of summers, but I thought about being a prosecutor for a living, right? That's because I have empathy and I cared about the victims. Don't you care about the victims at all? Because if you cared about the victims, you'd want to get the right guy.
Yeah.
You'd want to make sure that he didn't victimize anyone else and that you got justice for that poor woman who was bludgeoned and raped and nearly murdered in such terrible shape. But you don't care about that. You care about, let's go get those guys whether they were guilty or not. And that says a lot about the people who think that way.
All right. I got one more here from the Young Turks. This one is from 3 days after the election, and this is a this is talking about the fear of a Trump dictatorship. It's explaining how people in power, you know, fear leaving office because they will be put in prison. So you can take a listen to this. More Young Turks on the J-Porks podcast.
This is 3 days after the election now in 2016, and I'm ready to do a prediction on how the Trump administration is going to wind down. Okay?
It's very early.
It is very early. Because I'm
inauguration's in like 100 days.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm. I read the stories. I know who he's going to put in charge of the different cabinet positions, roughly speaking. Right. It's going to be a cast of characters, and they're going to get put in different spots. And I know these guys. I've studied them for almost their entire political career. So by the end and near end of the Trump presidency, within 3 years in to the end, we will have an epic disaster. We will have a lot
Katrina
of people say that.
Or
No, political disaster, a constitutional disaster. Okay, because a lot of people say that, but they don't really know what it means. They like, you know, people like to talk in like, no, Trump is a strong man. Okay, he like Putin, like Erdogan in Turkey, and he knows no bounds. And having had no bounds ever put on him as a spoiled brat, and now he won the presidency. He thinks the laws don't apply to me. The rules don't apply to me. Look at what I did at Trump University. Look at what I did in 1,000 different instances, and I always got away with it. Now, he's also a serial bungler, and he is putting into place people like Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, etc., who will all bring the law to its very edge and very likely, very often, go over that edge. So by the time they're 3 years in, they will be intensely unpopular, partly because they have abused our normal way of doing things in America, and the American people wake up out of their stupor and go, oh, yeah, I really wanted to throw a brick through the window of the establishment, but it looks like I broke more than a window. This thing's really bad. That's part one. Part two is Trump is so incompetent that there is no way that he is not going to botch 2 to 3 huge things in those 3 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So his popularity is going to be probably in the 20s. Now, that sets into a chain of events that is very dangerous. Then he will begin to realize, and all of his cronies will begin to realize, they are not going to get reelected, and hence they will lose power. But in that time, they have already done self-dealing. They have already bent or very likely broken several important laws. Now, and they think, as all strong men do, and that's why they never ever want to let go of power, that's why you can't get Putin or Erdogan out literally with a coup or a handlebar or anything or a blowtorch. You can't get them out of office because they know the minute they leave office, then all their wrongdoing becomes apparent. So they can't have that. And these guys have no rules anyway. They have no bounds of decency or what they view as American principles. And so they will begin to attack the media, not in the way that Trump did during the campaign. That was an appetizer. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about an actual attack. Begin to jail people. Come up with excuses. Hey, look, Obama opened the door. Whistleblowers are prosecuted under the Espionage Act, right? So he will, that door that's been pried open, he will kick open. And so there will be huge issues with jail. I think potentially jailing members of the media, political opponents, and people will go, "What? This is nuts! What are we doing here?" But the more he does it, and the stronger he gets, the more compliant some portions of the media and even the opposition
his supporters,
will be.
Definitely.
And his supporters will get more emboldened. So then America will have to choose, because we will be at a boiling point about 4 years from now, and we will be on the precipice of a constitutional crisis. Mark it down. It's gonna happen, because it is in their nature. All these things I said are nearly inevitable. Trump is not going to turn around and decide, oh, well, now that I've gone 70 years breaking all the rules and having everything be about me and self-dealing and taking my own charity and then just buying portraits of myself with it and enriching myself and giving money to my kids' school, private school, so they can get, no, I'm going to leave. No, the presidency is too important. No, a tiger doesn't change his stripes. He will do that in office. And having realized how many things that he did wrong, he's going to start thinking, I can't leave. I can't leave. I can't. If I leave, I'm going to be in trouble. Remember, these are the guys who chanted, lock her up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so by the end, it will get super ugly. And yes. One last thing about this. Look, people are worried about him attacking different minorities, etc. And for political expediency, to rile up his base, he will. But that's not the main play. There's no money in that.
Right.
The real issue is how do we get the money? So they will do the self-dealing and they will do all these different things. And so that's the main thing. And by the way, in the beginning, it'll start out nice and easy. Right, already, he's got the lobbyist groups that are working, that are classic Republican lobbyist groups working behind the scenes, ready to dole out all sorts of favors to the people who gave him political contributions. That's actually totally normal in America. He'll take it to another level, but that's the political bribery and corruption we have now.
No,
he'll put it on steroids.
He's going to be busy draining the swamp. I don't know what you're talking about.
So in the beginning, there'll even be a little bit of a sense of, oh, it's not that bad, right? Oh, like, hey, it turns out, no, he didn't jail the Muslims or the Mexicans and he didn't kick them out. This was all overblown, our concerns. And there'll be a lull. There'll be a lull of, I don't know if it's 6 months, 18 months, a year, somewhere along those lines, where people think, ah, we were all worried about nothing. And then the terror begins. Okay, I don't mean terror as in, like, immediately, you know, locking people up or going after ethnic minorities. They're only going to go after the minorities if they're cornered and they need a scapegoat, right?
Because, or an election is coming up,
yeah,
as it does every 3 days in America.
Yeah, I hear you. But that is not their aim. Their aim is self-aggrandizement and self-dealing and to make more money and to gain, accrue more power. When they become really dangerous is when they realize they're going to lose power.
You know who makes independent media possible? You guys. Because of you, we can actually do this show free of any outside influence. That's what makes us so strong. Become a member today. TYTnetwork.com/join. You are the media.
Folks, it's really all that. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say the same things every week, but our country's at a crossroads and we are screwed. We're in trouble, and we have to band together as minority people, as people. If you are not a rich white guy, if you're not an old rich white dude who is racist, then we need to band together, because we're the same. We're all the same. Me and somebody who's Muslim and somebody who's Mexican, somebody who's Canadian, whatever the case may be. As long as you're somebody who's against fascism, as long as you're somebody who's against misogyny, as long as you're somebody who's against sexism, and, you know, if you're a supporter of LGBT and identity rights, gender identity rights and all that stuff, we need to band together. If you're somebody who may, you know, from time to time indulge in the recreational use of marijuana and you think that that's something that should be socially acceptable, that's going away. So you guys need to all band together and stand up against racism, because on November 8th, 2016, America didn't do that. America didn't band together enough. Not enough to the point where we needed to. So next week, we'll be back with some fresh hot takes, Jay Pork's podcast. We'll have episode 151. We got a birthday episode coming up, mid-December, my birthday. It's happening. Not much to celebrate. You know, probably be my last birthday on Earth, the way this country's going. But in the meanwhile, just check out the following websites. Keep going there. Because they keep me in business. ConcertConfessions.com, live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. AndyDurer.com, that's Durer Network headquarters. That's where you get all your Durer Network podcasting needs, whether that's Jesse Unplugged, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, the flagship show, The Andy Derer Show, or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Parks Podcast can be found at andyderer.com. Also, ChristinaRocks.com. That's where you get Christina Rocks. She's got Throwback Alternative on 89xradio.com every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to noon. And also AnnieQuiet.com. It's where the headlines are always powered by, and that's your source for quality. Till next week, folks, just hug a person of color, won't you? Hug a minority. Stand together. Because to say that we are screwed as a nation would be the understatement of the worst year in the history of the world. Wacky Weed warns Yvonne. Wait.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.